Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. For 35 years, New Life has been transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. So glad that you're here. Maybe there's something God wants to say to you, and maybe He'll use us to do it. He used a donkey to talk, and so I always think, well, if He can use a donkey, He could use me to talk with you. And helping me in that communication, Dr. Jill Hubbard is in the house.
Hello. Hi. Steve.
And Mark Cameron is here. Mark, always great to have you here.
Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill.
Good to see you guys.
And I want to mention what today is. Today is National Handwriting Day. And the significance of that is huge. Because right up until about 3400 BC, it was all about oral tradition, which I call oral headache. Everything was transferred either by picture or by memorization. And of course, sometimes the pictures were the memes to be able to get the memorization right. But in 1977, which is John Hancock's birthday, January 23rd, on his birthday, they said, let's do National Handwriting Day. And for us Christians, of course, the movable type occurred in the 1400s, which led to the Gutenberg printing press and the Bible being printed, so many other things. But I remember when I was working with Women of Faith, started Women of Faith, Lucy Swindoll, we had this little discussion one day. Everybody gave their 2 cents on what was the greatest creation ever. Of course, the wheel came up and other things. But Lucy Swindoll said, no, the greatest invention ever was the alphabet, which, when you think about it, pretty accurate, I think. And so here we are today with God's Word in printing, because, man, did those people for years, those scribes, use handwriting to communicate God's truth. About the 8th century, that's when the Greeks, they developed the alphabet, and, you know, the Phoenician alphabet, and then Latin came after that. And that's where we have Pig Latin, which is the only foreign language that I'm ever able to use. But think about the power of handwriting and the Word of God and the truth that we get to read because of it.
I know. And, Steve, aren't we grateful for the scribes? I was just talking about this with someone.
Kidding.
They were so meticulous.
Yep.
Like every line had to be exact.
Right.
The same words on each line, so that we could have God's Word and it would stay intact.
Well, there are stories, because they were writing on a scroll sometimes, you know, they would just spend hours and hours, and then there'd be a mistake and they'd have to throw the whole thing away. So we're grateful for God's Word. We're grateful for handwriting. And I want to say this. There are a few things in this day and age less valuable.
Well, we're thankful for the printing
more
press,
valuable.
Too.
Yeah. Well,
I'm just laughing at the irony here, because when Jill came in, I gave her about 7 pens to use, and none of them worked
for her.
And I've
got a hole in my paper, because there you are. None of them worked.
Well, there are a few things that are more valuable than a handwritten note.
Well, and I thought you were going to say the writing pen, actually.
Well, I love the writing pen. I love calligraphy. But let's just make this point. A great way to celebrate National Handwriting Day, which really honors all of the different ways we've gotten to the point where we can communicate in writing. Maybe think of somebody you could drop a card to, handwritten note, something like that. All right, if you want to join us, 1-800-229-3000. We would love to talk with you about what's going on. Maybe you've thought about someday I'll call. Great day to do it today. First call, we'll go to Ann from Kendrick, Idaho when we come back from this break. 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mark Cameron, and your phone calls at 1-800-229-3000. Now, before we go to Ann, I want to ask Jill.
Yes.
What do you think, or what is the most common issue that causes people to seek counseling from a private practice like yours? What's the most common thing right now?
The most common? Well, I think that people, there's a lot of people in grief right now. Mm-hmm. I think, especially through the holidays, I saw an uprise in loss and grief, you know, yes. loss of loved ones. Mm-hmm. And then the anxiety and depression, I think, that life causes as people are moving through life and life doesn't go as you thought it mm-hmm. ought to go.
Yeah.
So, well, huge disappointment.
The anxiety, grief, all of those things heightened, I think. It began with 9/11. I think there was a huge, huge loss of sense of security mm-hmm. that's passed on to kids now, or they know about 9/11. They know somebody could do something dangerous on our soil. Now, add to that the COVID mm-hmm. that we thought at one point would kill us. You know, we could all be wiped out. That was horrific. And then, you know, today you add to all that economic insecurity, inflation, things of that nature. It's really been hard for folks. I was just looking today that eggs had gone up something like 500% in a year or something like that. Just bizarre how much it costs to do anything this day and age. But people do get help for that, and that's the main issue here. Mm-hmm. And if you need help, if you're struggling with fear, anxiety, or you haven't grieved those losses, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and let us give you some help. But right now, we could help you now by calling 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Let's go to Ann. Kendrick, Idaho is from where she is calling. Hi there, and how are you today, Ann? Good to have you here, and let us know what what's on your mind today.
Okay, my basic question is going to be, how do I approach my daughter and her husband and get them to attend the Intimacy in Marriage workshop that you're coming up both, I see, in February and July? They are not communicating. He doesn't hear what she says. He doesn't hear what she says. You know, they're not communicating at all. And I hate to put it all on him, but he doesn't understand what she's trying to tell him. And she has found a little apartment about just a few blocks from where they live. And she is over there as much as possible with the girls, but she said she is done. She's fried. Mm. And I don't know. I hope that this workshop could help him, but I don't know if I can talk him into going. And okay. I think you can ask whatever questions you need to about the situation.
Sure.
There's a lot of stuff.
Okay. Well, Jill, let's get started here, and then we'll go.
Ann, did you say it's your son or your daughter?
I told her.
The daughter.
It's my daughter
okay.
and her husband. And
right.
There's no alcohol or drugs or other people involved. And I really like her husband. He's a nice guy. Mm-hmm. But they are not communicating. Mm-hmm. And it's killing him.
And do you mm-hmm. have a good relationship with your daughter?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I have a good relationship with him, too.
Okay.
I'm not going to write him off because he's a
good.
Nice guy.
Yeah, that's great. Well, you know, sometimes it's just being a little bit straightforward and sitting down with each of them and saying, I care about you. I love you, right? I see that you're struggling. And I see you guys getting farther and farther apart. would you be willing to do one last thing before you go your separate ways? It's 48 hours, right? Would you be willing to do that? And if you are able, maybe even offering to sponsor them.
Oh, I will sponsor them, and I will fly to Denver and stay with their kids. I will pay for their airline tickets, but I'm just, her attitude is a little bit frightening to me.
Well, right.
But,
yeah.
You know, she feels this has been going on for years. Their oldest daughter is almost, she'll be 14 fairly shortly, and right after she was born, she felt him kind of pulling away from her because he was jealous of the attention she was giving the baby, and he just can't seem to realize that she's big enough to love both of them.
And what are their barriers to going to intimacy in marriage?
I don't know if there would be any barriers. I really don't. I haven't approached them with this, but they're rarely speaking. She can hardly stand to be in the room with him because she is so upset with his attitude toward her. He does not hear anything she says, and he hears what he wants to hear. But, you know...
Have they separated? It sounds like you're saying that they've separated.
Well, not anything legal or official, but she has found a little apartment not too far from where they live. So he has to be at work fairly early in the morning, so she goes over and gets the kids to school, and then she's there to pick them up after school. Her job allows her, allows her to do that. And she spends a lot of time with him, but she can hardly stand to be in the same room with him.
Yeah, I agree with Jill. If you're not sure that there's many barriers there, then I would ask them directly. You might even want to ask them separately, too.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
It sounds like you said you've got a good relationship with both of them. Talk to them separately about it. It's a fantastic resource that we offer here. Many people's lives are changed, and it's worth them. You know, they've got kids. It's worth them giving it a try, I think.
Right, and that commitment of marriage, right? People reach these impasses, and you're right, it builds up a little bit over time, right? A little bit at a time, and that gap gets bigger and bigger. But they fell in love, right? They created children. There was a lot that drew them together, and they've lost their way. So to be able to see, is there any hope? Could they recapture? Go ahead, Steve.
I would say to each of them separately, I've seen what has happened, and I feel for you. I want you to know I listen to this program, and we hear about people that are in much worse shape than you are, and they go to this weekend, it's 48 hours, and everything is different after that. And it might seem like you don't even want to get back, or it might seem like you don't care. But I think you owe it to your kids to just be able to say we did everything that we could. And then you say, and I'm willing to pay for it. And I'm willing to fly in and take care of the kids because I believe in you and I believe in the value of this weekend. And I would say that to each of them. And if they say no, then I would ask them, why in the world, you guys fell in love, why in the world wouldn't you want to do this experience that probably has the highest success rate in the least amount of time of helping people? Why give up when you've got really an opportunity of a lifetime?
Well, and most people exhaust everything they know to do, and so they think there's nothing else to do.
That is so true.
Right? And so if they've exhausted all that they can see, maybe to suggest that they can't see it all, that maybe they need to have some experts give them a different perspective.
And they'll say, well, we went to a workshop.
Yeah.
Well, no, but you didn't go to this, because this is not just a workshop. This is where you hear information like a workshop. But then you have a licensed, clinically trained Christian counselor helping you work through things. And then you go hear something else. And it's really revolutionary. So those are the kind of things that I would be saying to them. And if you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, the you know, our folks there are so good, they can tell you even maybe some more things to address the specifics there. But I'm so glad you called, because this is a question a lot of people have. How do I help my kids who are in trouble and there's no reason for them to be?
Because I am so basically so upset about her because she's so dead to any to help.
Mm. Well, the best thing you can say to her, to a person who is dead, is to say, oh, you know, I can see why you'd be so frustrated, and it would take this toll that he's not listening to you and things like that, versus, you know, I'm sure you contributed to it also, you know, that's for later. But you just say, I understand, and there is a way for you to have the marriage that you wanted to have, that you thought.
Well, and Steve, so, you're talking about really empathize with each one of them in their plight. Mm-hmm. And for her, sometimes, because couples create a dance, the last person they're going to hear anything from is their spouse. But when you are with other couples, and especially men in groups with other men, and when they can see similar dynamics and things in others, often light bulbs go off, and
so
they can
true.
Hear it from other men more than they can their spouse. And that's where some of the hope is.
And I think one other thing that I would say, Anne, is this is a lot less painful than divorce. Oh. And it's also a lot less painful than what they're doing right now. Sometimes in therapy, we'll ask something called the miracle question, where we'll say, you know, if you woke up tomorrow and everything was just right, what would that look like? And what do you think it would take to get there? So I think it's a challenge for your daughter if she really kind of is stuck in hopelessness and I'm giving up, to say, well, what if this 48 hours could change everything for you? Are you not willing to give it a try? Because then that kind of puts the focus back on her, that she does have some kind of power in this.
Yeah.
Well, you've heard this saying. I think you might have heard the saying. Marriage is grand. Divorce is about 10 grand. And you just don't want to be paying money on
a divorce.
Well, it's so much more in this day and age. But you're going to pay one way or the other. And but you don't have to pay. When you get help like this, all of that pain, suffering, struggle to get back, it works. It'll happen. And for anybody else listening, look, we wouldn't be saying this if we hadn't watched the results, if we hadn't experienced it. You know, we're a ministry based on truth, and the truth is intimacy in marriage is an experience that works. Jill?
Okay, so they don't have to stay together. They could get separate rooms. And here's the thing. When you have kids, you never truly divorce. You are always linked to this person. Yep. So whether this changes everything or not for her, she's got to figure out a way to coexist with him in co-parenting.
Right. And like it or not, as Jill says, you will not be divorced. You are going to be together, like it or not. Okay, let's thank you for calling, and I'm going to send you the 1-year Bible for women. My wife did that. I'll send you Every Believer's Thought Life. Those are the things to say thank you for giving us a call. Let's go to Sally, Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Sally. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent. Tell us tell us what's on your mind today.
Okay, I would love to know how to forgive someone that committed suicide.
Okay, tell us what needs to be forgiven. What happened?
My husband committed suicide, and the effect that just the loss, and then the effect on my children. And we've not told this outside the family to try to protect the younger members of the family. They just know he passed.
Okay.
And I don't know what kind of effect it's going to have on them.
How old are the younger members of the family?
The oldest one was 10 when it happened.
How old is the oldest one now?
13.
Okay, and the youngest?
Three.
three, and now they're six?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We are going to give you some help here. It's something that we've dealt with personally and on the program with many other folks. I'm really glad that you let us deal with this. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free, 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and before we go back and talk with Sally, I just want to remind everybody that Every Man's Battle is coming up February the 4th. It's online. And sometimes, you know, these words that we want to use that can be the most convincing words, they need to be said. Things like, the least you can do, or don't you think, with all the pain, or don't you believe you deserve it? Don't you want to be that man of character, that man that felt good about himself? Please go. Sometimes you have to say you go, or obviously you care more about the affair or pornography or whatever than you do me. So this is either the beginning or it's the end. And enabling evil in your home, can't find that in Scripture anywhere. Don't do that. Ask him. And then sometimes when the ask isn't responded to, you have to demand that he get the help that he need. In this case, we're talking with Sally, and a husband committed suicide. Jill, you wanted some clarification on a couple
Sally,
of things.
We were just wondering, you were talking about younger members of the family. Are those your kids? Are those grandkids? Are those nieces and nephews? Who are we talking about?
Grandchildren and nieces and nephews.
Okay. Okay, so your kids are adults. And they know.
Yes.
Okay. And
oh yeah, they. I've seen the effect on them.
Sure.
And the effect on me.
Well, of course, there's a huge effect on everyone when somebody takes their life. And I'm so sorry that your husband was in that state and he made that choice.
Yeah.
It's hard when. For others to always understand the despair that someone has and the lack of being able to see any other option and the lies that they tell themselves in that state.
So a 13-year-old grandchild, I believe, would need to know the truth. 6 years old, maybe that's a little, I think it is a little young, probably not necessary at this stage. But you want to be sure that the secrecy is removed from it, and so that they feel like we're all in this together, all in the family, that their parents haven't kept something from them about a very horrible thing. And essentially it's saying to the 13-year-old, I'm confident that you can handle this, versus one day she finds out and then realizes that you thought she was incapable of handling a tragedy like this. That's my thought. Mark, what are you thinking?
Yeah, Sally, I've got a question for you. And my question is, how did you grieve?
By taking care of my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Another word for that is you got busy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So so to answer the question that you asked, how do I forgive someone? The forgiveness is for you, right, Sally, because, you know, your husband's gone now. And so it's really about you learning how to try and find this resolve. And the thing about grief is, the unfortunate thing about it is, even though we're designed this way, is that you can't get to the other side, the acceptance part of grief, without actually going through the other stages of it. And so it sounds like you know, even though it's been several years ago, because you haven't, you know, faced it and gone through those stages, you're not yet through it, and you're not yet through to the acceptance stage. And so what I might suggest for you is to either seek individual counseling and or seek out a grief group, specifically for people whose spouses have died, and maybe if you can find one specific for spouses who have committed suicide, I think that's where you're going to find a lot of your answers here. And I think as you model going through the process of grief, you'll find that you'll become more equipped to help your other family members get through it too.
Well, the organization that does divorce care, they also have groups called Grief Share. And it's a very wonderful organization, very good at what they do. We have a grief workbook. I'll send you that and the Life Recovery Bible to help you work through the grief by using the 12 steps, and I'll send that to you. But for you, again, the stage is the grieving process, and that has many stages. But you go from grieving that loss to being able to accept the reality and accept the flaw that was there in him. That starts to free you. Then when you do that, you can start to embrace this life without having that bitterness, resentment there, so that you get not just over it, but you get through it, over it, and beyond it. That's what we want to see for you. And I always say this, you know, I want things like this to take up as little real estate as possible in your brain there, because bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, it's just painful for you, and we don't want that for you. Freedom is grieving, accepting, embracing, moving
well,
on.
Well, and yeah, as you look at your grief a little more intentionally, I think starting with sharing with your kids, right? Because they also have a say-so, a big say-so, in what is shared with their kids. Mm-hmm. And as they see you maybe going through it, it could be a huge help to them.
Yeah, it really, really could be. So I'll send you this grief workbook in the Life Recovery Bible, and I'll send you Every Believer's Thought Life, because, boy, does lack of forgiveness destroy our thought life. For anybody else, when you send a gift of any amount here, we will send you this brand new book, Every Believer's Thought Life. Doing interviews, people love this book. It has so much good content in it. It's going to help you to be free mentally and emotionally.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zippered Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. So glad you're with us. 1-800-229-3000 in the studio. Larry Sonnenberg. Hey, Larry.
Hey,
what do you have for us today? Thanks for bringing it in, whatever it is.
Okay. Well, you know, there's different reasons people support our ministry here. And there's a short little testimony here that's a great, great reason, and I want to just challenge those of you that have had similar experiences to do the same. She says, "My husband went to Every Man's Battle years ago. I had already started supporting you, but after the amazing change in my husband, we decided to become Club New Life members."
Hmm, great.
So, you know, we're getting ready for Club New Life, not Club New Life, Every Man's Battle online here the first week of February. And so I want to encourage people, guys, to go to that. Doing this online lowers the bar for you. You don't have to, it's cheaper, it's one day, you don't have to fly anywhere, you don't have to spend a weekend. So there's no excuse. No excuse
yeah,
at all. That
I have recommended it to several of my clients specifically for that reason. You don't have to travel, and it's one day.
Well, we were shocked at how effective it was. We were committed to not do anything online because face-to-face is so valuable. But then when COVID forced us to, we were surprised at how effective it is, and really hope that you would either encourage the person you love to get there, or you as a man just say, okay, it's time.
I'm just thinking of all the people who have attended either Every Man's Battle, Restore, Intimacy in Marriage, Emotional Freedom, and their life is different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so now's the, if your life is different, why not pick up the slack for us? Join Club New Life. You know, that's the difference. She said, I was already supporting you, but now I'm going to do it every single month.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would love it if you would join that party with us. It's a great thing.
We have some great things going and some gatherings, get-togethers, information that we present to the Club New Life members, and we want you to be part of us. And it is the foundation of everything that we do here, that we count on the small gifts adding up to the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
So please, all you got to do is call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Anything else you want to say here, Larry?
Thank you, everybody who has made gifts to us recently, and maybe today and maybe next week. Thank you.
Well, and it's the only reason why we're here, because we're fully donor supported, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, big, huge thank you.
So God bless you. Thank you.
Yeah, and this year we're not fully. we had a little shortfall there year in, like so many other folks did.
We're
because
only partially here,
different
huh?
things. So we want to be fully. So help us by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Again, gift of any amount, we'll send you the Every Believer's Thought Life. When you join Club New Life, what do we provide folks with Club New Life at signing up and joining?
We've got the one-year Bible for men and the one-year Bible for women.
Mm-hmm.
And
great gifts. I gave them at Christmas time to
right.
my family.
There you go.
Yes. Yep. My dad told me he's reading it, Steve. So
awesome.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, we get comments all the time, and Misty just got one of just. She was, I just can't believe people love this so much, and it is true. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you want to help us. If you want to join us on the program, just like Joy is joining us, it's 1-800-229-3000. Hi, Joy. She listens KWRD, Dallas, Texas. Hi there.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You are welcome. How's it going, and what can we help you with?
Okay, well, my issue is about 3 months ago, my daughter and I left my husband due to abusive, controlling behavior, anger issues. We needed to leave. We are living separately. It was a wake-up call for him, and it's been a time for healing for me and my girls, my daughter. And since then, my husband has gone to Every Man's Battle, and he's also in counseling separately.
Good.
Yes. So the Every Man's Battle really was excellent, and it allowed him to see a huge porn addiction issue that he had.
Okay.
So he says it's really helped him and he's come a long way. My question is, the anger, controlling, abusive behavior,
mm-hmm.
how is that connected? How is that related to his porn addiction? Could that issue be better? Because I didn't leave because of his porn addiction. I didn't even know what a big issue that was.
Right.
So I'm wondering, how are the two related, and could the abusive, controlling anger issues be better because he went to Every Man's Battle and dealt with his porn issue? So that's my question. What should I do?
I'll start with two things, then I'll go to Mark and Jill. Anytime somebody with a porn addiction has said to me, okay, I've got a problem, but I don't know where to start, or what to do after Every Man's Battle, I always say, well, the place to start is working on the anger. And I've been doing this for 35 years or so. Never had one porn addict say to me, oh, I'm not angry about anything. So dealing with the anger is a big part of the recovery from porn addiction. But here's what you'd have to do. You'd have to ask him, because we deal with this issue because it's so common, but the question is, did he hear it? And did he do anything about it? Some people, kind of the anger is all part of that weekend and it resides and the rage is gone. But others, it's so locked in, it reduces, but additional work needs to be done. But let's hear from Jill and Mark. What are you guys thinking?
So what I would say here, Joy, is anger is a secondary emotion. So, you know, meaning that we feel something first before we feel anger. And so there's always either hurt, a sad, or a fear emotion that's underneath that drives anger.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes to controlling an abusive behavior, what I find is there's typically shame underneath that. And that person doesn't want to feel that shame. They don't want to be in this one up, one down position. And so they go to anger and they go to control and rage and they get people to comply. And then they don't have to experience mm-hmm. that vulnerability anymore. And so really, right. I think you want to look for how is your husband managing his shame. And shame, we start by managing shame, by bringing it out into the open. Mm-hmm. We have to acknowledge and recognize it's there. You can't work on something that you're not really sure about or that you're not really aware about. So he has to be able to acknowledge that, figure out, again, the roots of that, where that shame comes from, and start to process through and then find some different ways to deal with it. Because that's likely what was driving the porn addiction. It was just another way for him to funnel that shame to find some kind of relief.
Right.
Jill,
and at every man's battle, shame is something mm-hmm. that they talk about and deal with. Mm-hmm. They call it a no-shame zone. And people walk through the door filled with shame. And then through the weekend and the exposing of that, mm-hmm. they really make huge strides. And you're right. That helps to disarm the anger. But you know, all addictions have anger. Mm-hmm. tied to them. So, Joy, they are linked. And depending on where someone is in their addictive cycle, whether they're building up mm-hmm. or coming off of whatever kind of using they're doing, there can be anger there and lashing out. And, yeah, it's connected to that shame. So as he deals with the things that are underneath those emotions, that's going to mm-hmm. dissipate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and let's just think this through. Common sense.
Okay.
Let's say a person never ever got over mom. Mom was overbearing or whatever mom was. Well, wouldn't it make sense that I would then, since I couldn't control my mother, I try to control my wife? I'm angry at my mm-hmm. mother, so I project that onto my wife, even my daughter. And so mm-hmm. That just makes sense that if I haven't resolved that. And what else makes sense is that I might then be attracted to a pornographic film or figure that I have total control over. And so now I feel my mood is different. And essentially when I look at pornography, I am the master and that person is my victim. Because pornography isn't... I mean... It's not an equal relationship. And so men use it for these unresolved things. And you're agreeing with this. Have these kind of things come up with him before?
Mm-hmm.
Has he expressed trouble with mom? Or is it more the father? Okay. Well, I want to hear about that when we come back. So hang on. You're listening to New Life Live. Okay. And maybe you're listening and you're going, you know what? I use porn all the time. I rationalize about it. I project it onto my mother. I'm angry at her, and I'm angry at everybody else, and I don't connect with women. How about Every Man's Battle, February the 4th? That's the thing that could change everything.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Joy. Joy, what has he told you about, or what have you seen about his relationship with his mother?
I would say she was one who couldn't be pleased. And there were also issues with his dad being very strict, possibly abusive, and just never feeling like he belonged in his family.
Yeah. And, you know, most guys in that situation, see, would expect for mommy to see that daddy is abusive. And mommy would do something to take care of this, to make things better, and when she doesn't. Because she's taking care of everything. Dad's gone off to work or whatever. She's taking care of everything. Why not this that is hurting me so badly? And so then you can see the anger, bitterness build up, and then the attraction to the pornography from there. Well, I am so glad that you called. And here's the thing. Ask him about how did this impact anger, relationship with your mother, things like that. And when you might hear, oh, my goodness, here's what they said, here's what I felt, and here's what I'm going to do. And then you'd say, oh, I'm so happy for you. But if he seems to be uneasy about it, he didn't really deal with that, then you might ask him, what are you going to do? You know, what's the plan now to do?
Well, Steve, I had just one other thought, because, Joy, it sounded like, too, that you were talking about now that he's gone to every man's battle, has that fixed his anger? And so it sounds like you're asking also, you know, a safety kind of question here. And
what to expect.
What to expect. And I think you've done a really good job, you know, you taking your daughter, moving out, showing him where the consequence of his actions lead. Yes, and that's really kind of been the motivator for him to change. But I think some of us need, have you ever seen on some chemicals that it says warning, contents under pressure? Have you ever seen that? Could be explosive. Some of us need to come with those labels, right? And it sounds like your husband needs to have one of those labels, or did need to have one of those labels. And so what I would say to you when you're asking this question about safety is that you really need to have some exposure to him where he is in situations where you do see that he's under pressure. And he does demonstrate to you that he's not going to explode, right? So then that label can be removed, right? And then you can feel safe with him.
Right. And our rule has always been, when somebody has had a sexual integrity problem, you don't listen to what, well, you need to listen to what they say, but don't act on what they say. Watch what they do.
Right.
Experience them, like Mark is saying. And but it is important that you talk to him about this, because the worst thing that I would want to see, or the thing I would least like you to see, is that he is defensive or avoiding it or whatever, versus he's on this really healthy track of dealing with that reality. And I hope and pray that, let me do this. I want to send you this book by Jill, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, because your daughter needs that book and will need that book. And then I'll send you this other book, Understanding and Loving a Person with a Sexual Integrity Problem or Sexual Addiction. And I hope that'll be helpful. And then I'll also send you Every Believer's Thought Life, which is our gift to anyone who donates anything, any amount, to New Life. I've got time, I think, to squeeze in one more caller, but we'll be here another hour, and we'd love to talk with you, 1-800-229-3000. Bill, Phoenix, Sirius XM. I don't have a lot of time, but is this something that you could ask us about and we could give you a little bit of help?
Maybe, I hope.
Okay.
So I'm in my mid-60s divorce. I've been involved with a woman that I've been dating, and she works in an office where there's like 98% males, and she considered these to be her friends. Uh-huh. Been there about 15 years.
Yeah.
She claims that, you know, and so anyway, you know, she spends 10 to 12 hours a day there, and then now busy she's in, they'll be there 5.5 days a week. So she's been, so it kind of bothers me, you know, because even if we end up together, she'll always be spending a lot more time with her male friends than me.
Yeah.
Is this an insecurity of me, or is this something I should be concerned about? She doesn't really have any girlfriends.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she has mentioned, you know, they've been with her through bad divorce and other life events. So,
okay. Well, let's start with Mark real briefly. We get it. What do you think? Is this What would you be concerned about, if anything?
Yeah, Bill, I think what you want to ask yourself about your own insecurity is, have you had that feeling before, and who else have you had that with? And if that's been a trend, or if it's that's been with another former partner, then maybe that's an insecurity that you need to work on. But I also think it could be a flag, you know, not knowing all the details about the situation, that if somebody has a lack of female friends and they're a female, that does say something about them. So maybe you can have some dialogue with her about that and see how she responds. Is she defensive about that? What are her reasons for that? One thing that I would suggest to you is the book How to Get a Date Worth Keeping. I know we say it all the time here when people ask these questions, because it's just such a fantastic book that will really kind of coach you to help you understand some of your insecurities and have good dating practices.
Mm-hmm. Jill, what are your thoughts here, real quick?
Yeah, I would wonder about the lack of female friends, for sure. If she's in an industry that's predominantly male, then where she works can't be helped in that way. And so how do you see her have her own boundaries with these men friends? Does she go out one-on-one with them, or is she in groups and talking? And I think that females can maintain that friendship a little bit more than I think males can. And so how is she respecting you in the dating relationship?
Right. Okay. And I would say this, Bill, before I move forward, I would want to know, have you been romantically involved with any of these men?
Yeah.
And if she says, oh my goodness, no, it's just not even an issue, that's an answer. But well, two of them, we dated while whatever. That's a different answer. And that would concern me. Biggest concern is the lack of female friends outside of work, because what's going to happen when you and her get into an argument? It's the men at work that she's going to be talking to, because she doesn't have anybody else to talk with. The other thing I would say is I would not move forward until I've been around those men. So, hey, I'd like to meet these people that you work with. Let's have a barbecue, or let's all have a dinner right after work or something. Because they need to either be saying to her, great guy, man, this is awesome, then you're going to ask her what they say, or they're going to say, loser. And if that's the kind of feedback she's getting about you, then that's really not going to bode well for when you're married and when you have some difficulty there. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. A little bit, yes. You know, she did date. I guess they went out dinners and stuff. She says it wasn't like a romantic, and they were just friends. You know, they'd go to dinner, just somebody to do things with.
Go ahead. And she's told them what?
You know, that she's, you know, involved with somebody now, and so, you know, she would go to church with him and stuff. So now she's going to church with me. So, I mean, she's invested, but, I do trust her.
Good.
You know, she's a Christian woman, and so am I, and so, you know, we try to do our walk to, you know.
Well, just, I think you're asking some good questions. I'm glad you called us. I'll send you Every Believer's Thought Life. I hope that'll be helpful. Now, the program here we're going to do, 1-800-229-3000. If you haven't signed up for Intimacy in Marriage or Every Man's Battle, we're doing those in February, and I think it's going to be a great thing. And, you know, 1 Peter 2:24 tells us that we need to be righteous.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.